Hello, everyone. Thank you for checking out this special episode of Really Dicey. This is Manny, and I am here with...
David F. Chapman. I'm a producer at Cubicle 7.
And today we're going to talk about The Laundry, second edition, that's currently on Kickstarter. Thank you, sir, for taking the time to talk to us about this very interesting project. The Laundry, it's a kind of a cosmic horror role-playing game based on modern times where you deal with the outer gods and bureaucracy, which, to be honest, I'm not sure which is worse.
Oh, definitely. It's all based on the novels by Charles Stross, which I have here, heavily marked up, as you can tell, with the post-its to keep references. So there's about 12 books in the series so far, and he's still writing them at the moment. The Laundry itself is kind of a holdover from the Special Operations Executive from the Second World War. It's like the ultra secret part of the British government. If instead of looking at domestic security like MI5 or international security threats to Britain like MI6, the Laundry looks into basically occult and esoteric threats, cosmic horror, that sort of thing. They don't really have a name. They're that secret. They got this nickname of the Laundry from their old offices being above a laundry in Soho. And it's kind of stuck with them. But the basic premise is that mathematics is the key to magic, basically. So when you're doing a magical ritual, basically you're doing all this chanting, putting candles and everything everywhere. But as far as the cosmos is concerned, you're basically doing complex mathematical algebra and things like that. And because everything's maths orientated, it kind of jiggles things in other universes thanks to sympathetic magic, and you can unlock portals and let things in. But unfortunately, because it's maths based, everybody's got computers, so it's becoming a lot more common, if accidental. So people can accidentally cause weird things to happen and summon occult happenings, and that's where the Laundry comes in. They have to investigate these things and shut it down and make sure nobody remembers it.
That's what I really like about the world building for the Laundry. It normally, for myself personally, I'm not a fan of the magic as a science we don't know about trope, but it works really well with the Laundry because it fits well with the not just how their cosmology works, but also their environment, dealing with all the paperwork, bureaucrats, things like that. And you know, even if you die, you still are working for them.
Oh yes, yeah. Don't use the Z word. But yeah, the residual human resources. So even if you're killed on a mission or something horrible happens to you while you're working in the offices, you can still keep working. Admittedly, it's not going to be quite as taxing. It'll probably be filing paperwork or pushing one of the mail trolleys around or security. They're very good at security because, let's face it, who wants to try and push their way past the security guard that's trying to eat your brains? But yeah, the nice mundanity of bureaucracy and paperwork and filing mixed with the weird magic. I mean, there's a really cool bit in one of the novels, which is going on about how they can read the paperwork that somebody else has got because they've managed to access a paperclip that was once used on there, and they can, yeah, it's great things. So when all the forms come in and want you to catalogue every piece of stationery basically you have on your desk, you think, oh god, this is just filing, why are they being like this? But there's a reason behind it. They're being extra cautious to make sure no dark sorcerers are getting hold of your stationery and can access like classified information.
So for anyone that's never heard of The Laundry before and is curious about who you can be in this world, what can you be in the Laundry RPG?
Well, a lot of the people who work for the laundry are either they come from basically two brackets. They're either people who've got a certain set of skills that the laundry think are going to be useful and they recruit them, or they've seen too much. And basically the easiest way is just to recruit them in because the old memory wipe thing isn't going to work on them. So there's a lot of people working for the laundry who do fairly mundane jobs, and that's the sort of thing that you can do in the game as well. You have your day job, which is your assignment, which can be anything from accounting, IT help desk, working in the archives, or the legal team, or logistics, or things, the fairly basic things that can move up to the more extreme levels, like counter possession exorcists, or working as plumbers, cleaners, or for the Oculus support. So that's going to be your day job. But thanks to the wonders of matrix management, you have multiple bosses. And at any time, if you're signed up for active duty, like most of the player characters will be, you can get recruited for a specific mission, teamed up with a load of people from other departments that you've possibly never worked with before, and then just kind of sent out into the field to do a basic task. It could be that you're going into a completely dangerous situation. You've got somebody who's trained in the military on one side of you, an IT specialist on the other, and maybe somebody from accounts making sure that you're not overspending, behind making notes to make sure that all the equipment's returned intact and complete. So your team can be just about anything, but you're all having to face the same cosmic horror.
Now, this was originally for first edition game for Cubicle 7 about over 10 years ago. If I may ask, what led to the to this project in redoing the game in second edition?
The first edition came out about 2010, 2011, I think. And it used the BRP rules from Call of Cthulhu. And by the time it got to, I think it was 2015, I think was the last supplement that came out for it. There was something about the license for using the BRP system, which clashed with it. So the support for the first edition got kind of ceased then. And it's just been something that everybody at Cubicle 7 has been kind of sitting on and thinking, we really should go back to that. That was such a cool game. And to avoid any licensing problems, because especially after last year with the OGL issues from Wizards, we thought if we're going to do a second edition, we'll do it with something that we've created, something that Cubicle 7 has created as a game system. And so it's the new edition uses the C7D6 system that was first used for, I have to get the title right this because it's a long title, Warhammer Age of Sigmar Soulbound, was the first time we'd used the C7D6 system. And so we're using that one as well instead, which is a fairly simple and quite quick dice pool system using D6s, but it scales quite nicely. If you're familiar with Soulbound, it's very designed for super heroic characters, what the striding into the battlefield wearing massive plate mail and sword in each hand, carving up enemies left and right. So you can think it's going to be a little bit overpowered, but one of the more recent supplements introduced a more grim and perilous level for more mundane people for in a supplement called Ulfenkarn, if I remember rightly. And so the scale level's quite nice and works quite well for the laundry because it can tackle your basic office Joe base go who's being sent out with like a phone full of apps to cast spells, a hand of glory, and a couple of banishment rounds in a pistol. It can handle the low level of that, but it can also take into account the higher level creatures that you're going to face, and some of the more powered characters that come later in the novels, like that there's some, don't call them vampires, and and other sort of characters that get recruited to the laundry who aren't necessarily human, and the game system can accommodate the varying power levels of that as well, which is pretty handy.
The artwork for this that I've seen so far is amazing. Usually it's kind of cliche, like to say something like, wow, I've never seen art like this in a role-playing game system before. But something about the art for this, when I look at some of the images coming out, I have to admit, I feel a level of tension. I don't know if it's I don't know how to explain it. It's like I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, I can't stare at this too long.
Well, I think when we sent out the briefs, the artist who's done quite a lot of the art that we've been using on the Kickstarter is an old friend of mine I've known for many years called Gareth Slighthome. And when we first started briefing him, we basically said, we want to do something a bit different from what you'd expect from a Cubicle 7 game. We wanted to experiment a bit more. And we kind of told him, sort of look at Bill Sienkiewicz or Dave McKean or something like that. But try and, while you're working, try and think of having that tense bass note that happens when you're watching a slightly scary movie, and they put that little string of bass undercurrent in the soundtrack that just sets you on edge. I mean, there's a lot of humor in the game. There's a lot of certainly bureaucratic and office humor in there, but there's always that clicking in the background, the counting down to what happens in 2016, which is Case Nightmare Green, when the stars come right, more everybody seems to know that the laundry exists, and the laundry eventually gets disbanded about that time as well, and also everybody seems to gain magical abilities, and it all goes to hell, and the Prime Minister gets taken over by Nyarlathotep. So it's always great fun.
So for the Kickstarter, what books are you planning to have available for anyone backing this? Or is there a core rule book? Is it two separate books?
At the moment, the core package is two books. So there's a operator's handbook, which is basically operative's handbook, which is basically the player's guide, which has got all the rules in, the assignments that you can have, an introduction to what the laundry is, how it's structured, and how magic works, and basically what you do. And then there's a supervisor's guide as well, which is for the game master, which goes into a little bit more depth about how the laundry is structured, because it's a lot bigger than most of the characters will be aware of. Give you some more options, as well as detailing international counterparts for the laundry, because there's the Black Chamber, who are like the American equivalent of the laundry. There's the 13th Directorate, the Russian equivalent. And you've also got, also details all the threats, like the creatures and the weird stuff going on, and how to run games. So that's the basic packages, like those two books, the Operative's Handbook and the Supervisor's Guide. There's also limited edition versions of it with special fancy covers, and there's also a nice slipcase for those as well if you want to get really, really fancy. And then there's another two books as well, which we're doing in the Kickstarter. The first one's Introduction to Applied Occult Computing, which sounds very technical and boring, but is just the name of one of the training courses that you get sent on. But that's kind of like a starter set, basically. Sends your characters off to the exciting world of Milton Keynes, where there's a short story at the back of the Atrocity Archives, the first laundry novel, all set in Milton Keynes, where something goes horribly wrong with the Scorpion Stair Network, which is basically turning all the CCTV cameras into basilisk weapons. But set after that, they've set up a regional field office and training center, and you get sent out to that. And this book starts you off with an adventure in Milton Keynes and then sets you up as a sets up a campaign for you to continue there and details what the rest of the city's like, some little occult things going on, some little secrets that you can uncover. So that'll keep you going for months and months, hopefully. And then the fourth book in there is Black Bag Jobs Reopened. If you're familiar with first edition, there was a book called Black Bag Jobs, which was a collection of adventures about extra dimensional entities breaking into our reality on to sort of scope us out. We've taken some of the adventures from out there and revised them for second edition, but not all of them. And we've also added some new adventures just to spice things up as well. I think we unlocked one recently as a stretch goal, which is called The Last Dimply, which is set in a abandoned motorway service station. The weirdness that's going on there as well. Those are the basic four books. And as I say, there's collector's editions and slipcases. There was a very, the top tier was getting the core books signed by Charles Stross, but I think they may have all gone now, I'm afraid.
So I know since when first edition was made, there's been a lot more Charles Stross laundry books since then. I just checked recently, and wow, I am way behind in my reading. Way behind. Was it difficult for you to, I guess, compile the new lore into the new books?
Well, basically, Charles Stross has been very helpful when it comes to any questions we've had. He's been very keen on this edition, and is very keen to be more involved with the second edition. But when it came to addressing a second edition, we kind of wanted to address to allow new players to start at the beginning, basically, so that they can get introduced to the setting a bit more before it starts getting really, really weird with the later books. So these first four books, they kind of are set in the sort of 2005-2010 sort of era of the laundry, which is around about the first five or six of the laundry novels. So things that there's the usual supernatural stuff going on, but it doesn't get to the really strange stuff when elves start taking over Leeds and the people start gaining superpowers, and then they're all going to hell with Case Nightmare Green as from the later books and the new management continuation after the mainline story. But those events will be addressed as we progress with the role-playing line.
If I may ask, do you have a personal favorite laundry story or Charles Stross story?
That's really, really tricky. The Jennifer Morg was really, really surprised me. That's the second book, because I have to describe it without spoiling any of it. It's basically a riff on Ian Fleming. It's a real James Bond book, but everybody's convinced that Bob, the lead character, is basically James Bond, and you're thinking, oh, this is just a piss taker James Bond, but there's a really, really clever reason behind it all. And it's all using like this strange ritual to protect the bad guy's plot, is using a strange occult means that basically means that nobody can stop him except for James Bond. And of course, James Bond's a fictional character, so he's convinced that this is all going to be, he's got it all sewed up and he's fine. And it's really, really clever. And when you get to the end of that one, there's a couple of real nice twists, which really throw you off. There's some really cool characters in there as well. But yeah, that's possibly my favorite.
If you had a chance to make a character in this setting for you to play, who would you make?
Oh, blimey. that's really, really, really tricky. I really like the idea of the external assets. Which they're kind of more introduced in the, I think about the fourth book onwards, where they're characters who have magical abilities, and they're basically sorcerers. They're licensed sorcerers, but they're not technically working for the laundry, but they're almost like informants or freelancers who the laundry bring in for special missions. I think they're certainly the exciting ones. I really like the idea of those.
One last question. So I find I love British humor, and this game is interesting to me because and it, especially first edition, has a soft place in my heart because it's horror, but there's this great humor, you know, around it. And at the time, I have to give a shout out to my game master of old for able to balance the two of horror and a little bit of that of the British wit into adding it into the game.
It's tricky, yeah.
Yeah, is it? I was going to ask you, is it difficult? Do you find that the most difficult part, trying to balance like existential horror with that Red Dwarf like type of comedy?
It's quite tricky. I find, especially when it comes to being British like that, the moment you're under a stressful situation, you kind of resort to humor as a way to react to it. And I think, as you say, watching something like Red Dwarf would help. The big touchstone that I've discovered recently, well, within the last couple of years, has been Slow Horses. If you check out Slow Horses, which is a really clever and gritty spy series in London, but there's a really dark British sense of humor in there as well, especially Gary Oldman is stealing that. So yeah, if you approach the game thinking Slow Horses meets something like Stranger Things with its cosmic horror and tentacles and stuff, then I think you'll come at it in the right way. You just have to make sure that any humor doesn't outweigh the horror, and any horror doesn't outweigh the humor. It is a really, really tricky balancing act, but it should be good. There should be some plenty of advice in the supervisor's guide to help GMs with that.
And viewers, definitely check out the Laundry of novels. They're fantastic. I think what works for me, his books, maybe because he's been a role player, I think people forget or maybe not know that he was one of the originators of the term like Death Knight, Givsarai, Givyanki, all those old D&D terms and monsters. And it's just, his work is just fantastic. It just kind of draws you in and this, you know, just like almost like a real game. You know, do you think that is why adapting his works is not overly complicated, because it's almost like made for role playing?
I don't know whether he's whether his history in gaming has helped with his world building for the actual novels, but you can certainly tell that there's something in there that makes sense. Basically, it's not it doesn't really throw you off and go, you can't look at it from a rules point of view and think, nah, there's no way we could ever replicate something along those lines. We've had a sneak peek of his next book, which is one that comes out, which has been delayed till next year, which is all about one of his D&D playing characters, Derek the DM. Because he's got such a handle on what's going on with gaming, especially old school gaming, I think that really, really helps when it comes to actually creating a believable setting.
Is there any last words before we wrap up?
Just go check out the Kickstarter. There's not long left on it now. It finishes on the 1st of May. If you like what you see, please back. The more backers we have, the more that I can convince the bosses to continue the line for many, many years to come. And certainly if the themes and the game looks appealing to you and you haven't read the novels, definitely check out the books as well, because they're great. But I'd say definitely read them in order, because it'll help, because there's some great continuing story arcs for the characters in there as well. But yeah, definitely check out the books.
Excellent. I will put a link in the description below for the Kickstarter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about this amazing project. I'm very excited for it. I can't wait to have this on my shelf. And to our viewers, stay safe, be careful out there. We'll see you next time.